this week on the Recruitment Flex, dropping breadcrumbs just like Taylor Swift, the FTC is saying no to non-competes. Layoff! Not good news at many high-profile companies. Plus, call me when you have 10,000 H1 GPUs. Tier F with my dad and Shelly starts right now.
Welcome to the Recruitment Flex with Serge and Shelly. I'm Serge.
And I'm Shelly. And we talk all things recruitment starting right now.
Bonjour. Shelly, have you listened to Taylor Swift's new album yet?
Not the whole thing. Like when she first dropped her first songs.
Yeah.
Yes, I've listened to about the first five or seven on the first album, but I've not listened to the entire Tortured Poets Department anthology from end to end. Tell me, how exciting was it at your house?
Very exciting for Mallory. I think yes. She's been waiting for this for a long time. So in the morning, she has a little Google like Alexa thing, and she always asks like, what's the news? And a week before, the news came up that Taylor Swift's new album was coming out really soon. So she's been asking every day, when is this album coming out? So when I woke up, I saw it on Spotify that it popped up and I showed it to her and she loves it. Like she loves Fortnite, the first song. I don't know if she's listened to like the double album or all of it, but I've heard random songs going across the house for the last week.
Do you know what surprised me, Serge, was how explicit the lyrics were? I hope you noticed that when you're letting Mallory listen. But of the first, what was it, first 16 songs, I think in terms of explicit lyrics, I think there's like five songs that have an E rating. Just a heads up, Dad.
Thank you for that, because I had no clue.
Yes,
but you know what, Mallory?
Lots of few F-bombs, which I thought that was an interesting choice.
That's interesting because I don't know. Mallory sometimes overhears some of the music that I listen to, and I can guarantee you there's some explicit ratings on those songs. But she's the first one. Say we're in the car and I'm not expecting the song to have an explicit lyric. She's like, change that song. So now that you're saying that, I don't know if I like that because she's such a role model and she might think it's okay now. It's just not daddy's bad rap music.
Yeah.
It's Taylor Swift swearing. So, good point. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, you should check that. I was surprised when I downloaded it. And as I listened to the first few songs, loved it. Loved it. Did you hear the one that is her response to Kim Kardashian?
Yes, yes.
Heard it?
I have heard it.
One of the lyrics is Taylor Swift says that she's referring to her own mother and saying, everyone knows my mother is a saintly woman, but she wished you were dead. Wow.
I love that Taylor Swift is going out there and she's like a rapper from the 1990s doing diss tracks. It doesn't matter anymore, right? Mm-hmm. She can put pretty much any song and people are going to listen to it. So good on her, but yeah, it was big news
are good
last
too.
Week. I haven't
Have seen
the video.
Have you seen the video for Fortnite? So
no,
good.
No.
So good. Really creative. Incredibly creative.
So audience, there goes your Swiftie update for the week. That was big news last week, but we have bigger news this week. So Shelly, the floor is to you.
Yes, big drum roll. It's probably been the biggest event in my life in 7 years.
Wow.
I am so pleased to announce to everyone that Serge has joined my company, Higher Value, as VP of Growth. I've been working on bringing Serge on board and knowing what we know about the talent acquisition industry, adding you into the organization to look at partnerships and technology. Our increase in productivity since you've joined has just gone through the roof. So I am very pleased to welcome Serge as my VP of Growth to Higher Value.
I'm really excited of joining you, Shelly, and what you've been able to build in 10 years since you've been in business, mostly by yourself. And obviously, you've grown over the years, but you have built something really impressive. And there is another layer to it. There's another stage. Leveraging Taylor Swift terms, we're going into a new era for Higher Value, and we're just going to kill it. So I'm excited. I think there's a ton of exciting things that are coming out. And We talk about this all the time. We're very connected to what's going on in this industry. And we know there's a wave coming. There's a huge wave. And what I mean by that, there is so much innovation that's happened in this particular space, and the market is finally shifting and adjusting to it. And we want to be there to ride that wave, to grow higher value, to be the best and the biggest recruitment advertising agency in Canada.
I am so excited. I'm just absolutely thrilled on what this means for how we're going to up our game. So I'm so glad you responded to the job ad, Serge.
Yeah, but Shelley, there's a lot of news this week, and yes, I want to jump into it. The biggest news just happened yesterday. The Federal Trade Commission is advancing a proposal to ban non-compete clauses in employment contracts. The proposal is expected to face opposition from some business groups and lawmakers who believe non-competes are necessary to protect trade secrets and investments in employee training. If approved, the ban would mark a significant shift in a labor policy and could impact millions of workers across various industries. So obviously, Shelley, we're Canadian. Mm-hmm. A little bit different for us. So I was really curious. I was trying to see, is there anyone in our space talking about this and what could be the potential impact when it comes to the recruitment, the labor market? And there's a gentleman named Brian Finks. He works for McAfee, which is a computer security, cybersecurity software company, used to be at Twitter. He's very well known in the industry. And he had a really interesting article or blog post that talks about it. He's predicting there's going to be a tidal wave of talent mobility. I'm going to go through all of them and then let's talk about it. He feels that this is going to be the golden age when it comes to the marketplace for recruiters. We are now going to become the most sought out talent because we're going to go aggressively and try to recruit from competitors. Okay. The other thing, and this one I might agree with, is we're going to see a surge of startups and a different wave of innovation. It's going to now release people to go out and do something that's competing against who they were working with. Obviously, they gained a lot of knowledge, a lot of skills there. And what basically held them there was the non-compete, either going to a competitor or starting a competing firm. And the last thing he thought is the competition is going to get extremely ferocious between companies trying to recruit from each other. My perspective was a little bit different because if we look at the law, there is still non-competes in Canada, but there's been so many cases that have been thrown out when it comes to non-compete that there's really no legal basis. It just doesn't stand on its own feet here in Canada.
Right.
And we have seen nothing of this. It's not like people are jumping from competitors to competitors. It never really happened here. But is it different in the US? What's your thoughts here, Shelley? First of all, were you surprised that the FTC is looking to ban non-competes?
So we had a little bit of a heads up about this in the fall, and I'm pretty sure we reported on it around August of 23. Part of me says, I agree, you should not be able to steal company secrets. That's not a non-compete, though.
No.
You have what's in your brain and you know what you know. Don't steal clients. I think that will stay, because leaving an organization and then thinking you can take the client list with you, that's what holds up in court, Canada or the US.
Yes.
And then bringing other employees with you. So that will also hold up in court. And it's not that uncommon, regardless of industry, like not just the tech industry. Even if you look at the energy sector here in Canada, that's what is taken very seriously, is when three or four people leave a department.
Yeah.
That have knowledge of a certain oil and gas play. That's a problem. But leaving and going to a competitor, you should not be prevented from being employed. And what I agreed with most of his commentary was sparking innovation.
Yeah.
Because I have met people who have worked for these big companies, have come up with great ideas that solve a problem, but it never makes it on the roadmap. Customers are asking for a solution, but the organization has other priorities. So for you to leave and try and make it out on your own, I think we should encourage that.
I agree. I'm glad you brought up one point. non-solicitations are not going away. And that is the stickler, right? That is the most challenging, because here in Canada, there's been plenty of cases of people going over, starting recruiting folks that they used to work with. That is still against the law. If you have a non-solicitation going after the clients, that will hold up in court. And everything I read here, not a lot was discussed when it comes to non-solicitation agreement. It wasn't even brought up in most articles that I read, unless I missed it. Really interesting times. So we'll keep a close eye on this. Shelley, over the last 2 years, the biggest complaint that I've had from companies advertising jobs is the amount of foreign, non-Canadian applicants applying for jobs that are not in the country. So Brendan Bernard, who's the senior economist at Indeed.com, I think he's actually based here in Canada. What he shared is the share of clicks on Canadian job postings made by job seekers abroad is down 40% since mid-2023. The drop has been particularly sharp for lower paying service sector jobs where foreign interests jumped most earlier. We've talked about this. The growth in population that we've seen in Canada has been incredible, but also has proven to be not sustainable and has caused a lot of challenges when it comes to our housing market, infrastructure. So I think the message is being sent to other countries that we're not as open to business as we were a year, 2 years ago. Hence, they're looking at other alternatives. The other factor to it, and I don't know if you're following or you've seen this, there's been plenty of discontent from people that have moved to Canada and coming into a very tough housing market, a really tough job market. And they're like, this place is not as great as we thought it would be. And I think that's discouraging other people, especially maybe family members. What's your take here, Shelley?
Yeah, Brendan also pointed out in his article that foreign job seekers have gotten wise to the fact that there's been some recent policy changes.
Yeah.
Because as we know, the cap on international students. So it's not the students, it is their family members, their spouses that would be coming with them. And there is a cap now on how many hours international students can work. So knowing the cost of housing, you got to do the math. I think this is a good sign. It's well done if foreign job seekers now know that it's not what it was in 2023. And they're starting to curb Canada as a destination.
I don't know if it's a win, but this is great news for employers, because there was a lot of situations for a while that 70 to 80% of job applicants were non-Canadians, which I don't think any of our clients had bias or anything, but we all know the challenges of bringing people with our LMIA process, all those things that we rather look at someone that's already a permanent resident or a citizen here in Canada before we start looking at those options abroad, just because the process is so much longer. And if you're getting 500 applicants and 450 are not in Canada and you have to sift through them, it's not a good experience for anyone. I'm glad to see this. I think this is good news across the board for employers and also job seekers. Mm-hmm. Shelley, I know you don't like layoffs, but there is a bunch of layoffs this week.
There is a bunch of layoffs, and there's also a little bit of drama going on at Google. Google did announce a second major job cut round here in 2024. They also have had a little bit of a revolt going on. The Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, has reportedly fired 20 employees on top of the 28 people already fired in their involvement for protests against the company. There's a little bit of discontent going on over there. I think they're scared. Honestly, I feel that the expectation that Google has been so far ahead of the market in everything they did, yet with AI, they seem to be almost putting their head in the sand, because there is a belief that OpenAI is going to diminish the need for Google. And who wants 2.4 million results when I just say, give me the top flower shops? I don't need 2,400,000 responses, right? So there's some serious stuff going on over there, I think.
Yeah, I have a couple of points there, then we'll move on quickly. So the employees are protesting Google's $1.2 billion cloud computing project with the Israeli government, Project Nimbus. One of the challenges that Google has had, and we saw this with Gemini, when any picture that you would try to get from their AI product, you couldn't find a white person. It was impossible. George Washington was black. So they purposely have built the system to be ultra woke, and they're finally putting their foot down. They're putting their foot down of these protests are not accepted. Like, you can have your political views, but when you're trying to intimidate other employees with your political views, you're going to get fired. So are you surprised by, looking outside of this, Google laying off a bunch of people again? Do you think it's just a market dynamic of being challenged by OpenAI? Or is it just the industry in itself? Everyone is looking at their companies being like, we have way too many people.
I think the latter. Yeah, I really do. I believe they have ballooned up to an organization where obviously the CEO is beginning to question, do we have the right people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In other layoff news, Nike plans to lay off 740 employees at its Oregon headquarters. Mm-hmm. So Nike in February announced they were going to cut around 2% of its total workforce, or more than 1,600 people. Recently announced there's going to be 740 employees at its Oregon headquarters, which would be included in that 1,600. I love Nike. Nike is like one of my favorite companies. So I am not surprised to see this, because definitely they changed their approach during the pandemic. They closed some really popular retail stores like Urban Outfitters, Olympia Sports, and footwear giant DSW, and tried to focus their business on the direct-to-consumer, so obviously buying online. And they've had some success, but not as much success as they wanted. And their competitors like Hoka. Have you seen Hoka shoes? They are everywhere. They're everywhere, though.
Honestly, everywhere. I'm noticing, everywhere I look, people are wearing these Hoka, and On is the other brand.
Yes.
And we're talking the younger generation. They're not as in love with Nike as our generation is.
They were, though, even a couple of years ago. So the Air Jordans are still the most popular shoe in the world, but their sales have been flat, which has made their share slump 24% over the past year. So they're making some adjustments and continuing on that path. And I swear this is the last one, Shelley.
Okay.
For today. So Tesla is going to reportedly slash over 10% of its global workforce. Not surprising. We're seeing a lot of challenges right now when it comes to the EV market. And they knew this would happen. You hit a certain point. It hasn't gone to the next level where people across the world are like, let's replace our combustible engine with electric. But like, Elon is always like this. And this is one of the things working for Elon, is there's a good chance that you could get laid off. He doesn't really care about the individuals in this case. It's never been his MO. And this is a perfect example, right? He's seeing inefficiencies and he's cutting it. And obviously there's probably a ton of pressure on the stock. There's a lot going on. So I'm not surprised to see this. In total, this is 6,020 employees, so 3,300 in California and around 2,700 in Texas. So there you go. That's the news, a lot of news. We're already halfway through the show. So let's jump into the tip of the week, Shelley.
All right. The tip of the week is brought to you by Plum. Plum knows that when people flourish, business thrives. Using science-backed insight, Plum aligns human potential with job needs, allowing you to build high-performing teams from a single platform. Ideal for improving hiring choices, identifying future leaders, and offering personalized career advice. Plum supports the entire employee journey, from hire to retire. Discover more at plum.io. So, the tip of the week is, why have we been asking this question? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And we need to stop and ask ourselves, first of all, why are you asking that question? And what would constitute a good answer? When we look at the pace of how things change, asking somebody about 5 years from now is just a ridiculous question. And I think it's just breaking an old habit. So my tip of the week is, stop asking, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I disagree with your assessment there, Shelley. I disagree with your tip of the week, because the goal is not to
say more.
Yeah, the goal of asking that question is not to know exactly what they're going to do in 5 years. And you might be right that some employers are a little bit delusional and be like, I want them to say that I want to grow up in the company and become the CEO. And that's probably not the case. But if I was asking that question, Shelley, the main reason I would want to know is, are they intentional? Are they intentional of how they plan their life and what they want to do and how they set goals? Because that tells me a lot about a person. If they're living their whole life thinking a month at a time, how do you get anything accomplished? So I'm going to respectfully disagree that we should remove that.
Okay. Okay. Game on. Listen, the gloves are off. Serge.
Okay.
Tell me, when you ask a candidate, what constitutes a good answer? I always say, if you're in the business of being a recruiter and interviewing people, don't ever ask a question that you don't know the answer to. So give me at least two things that would constitute a good answer if I asked you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What would you have to hear?
Well, first of all, Shelley, before you go any further, I disagree with what you just said, that you should know the answer for an interview question.
You do need to know why you're asking it.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
no,
and
but
what
you didn't say that.
A good answer? What would you need to hear that convinces you that this person can think past next week?
Yeah. So I'm not going to know the answer, but here are the two things that I'm looking. I'm looking for them that they plan. They can communicate what they're trying to achieve, right? Like communication and then intention are the things that I'm looking there. That's it. That's all I want to know. Is there an exact answer that is correct? No, there's not. In most interview questions, there's not an exact answer that is correct 100% of the time.
So being intentional and being able to communicate, as long as it's relevant to being successful in that type of work.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of times we just keep asking the same old questions and never stop to think, why are we asking
that? I will agree with that. A lot of people ask that question, and what they expect is exactly what I said at the top. They're like, I'm a software developer, as an example. I want to become a senior. Then I want to be the lead. Then I want to be the CTO. If that's what you're looking for, well, then, yeah, that's, you're going to get a bullshit answer, right?
Exactly.
If you're going
you're
in with an
for
open
a bullshit answer.
Yeah. Well, it maybe is. You're right on that point, because it does, depending on how it's asked, you'll probably get a bullshit answer now that I'm thinking about it, but I still don't think it's a bad question. All right, let's jump into the recruiting insights. Okay. The recruiting insights brought to you by Mitova. Shelley, are you tired of the same old outsourcing woes?
Well, say hello to nearshoring. It's like outsourcing, but closer, and it won't make you pull your hair out.
Picture this. Top-notch IT talent from Latin America.
Many Latin American IT professionals have strong English language skills and even live in the same time zone, so no more midnight conference calls. Hallelujah. Plus, Latin America's growing tech ecosystem, strong educational institutions, and a pool of skilled IT professionals make it the perfect region for recruiting talent.
I have the perfect company that does this. The company's name is Mitova. They have local experts who handle everything from recruiting to HR support.
So why settle for the same old outsourcing blues when you can have the nearshoring party with Mitova?
Look them up at mitova.com and let's get the fiesta started. You know, Shelley, I want to jump into the recruiting insights and talking about if you were a recruiter hiring AI. And this is a very unique skill set at the highest level and probably the most challenging role that companies will need to hire moving forward, because there's a huge competitive disadvantage when it comes to hiring an AI. And I'll give you an example. So Aravind Sivanas, the founder and CEO of Perplexity AI, recently revealed he was told, come back to me when you have, I don't even know what this means, 10,000 H1 GPUs when trying to hire a senior AI researcher from Meta. So what I mean by this is there is this subset of companies that have a huge advantage over the rest of the marketplace when it comes to hiring AI. This is where startups, how are they going to survive? How are they going to compete for talent when you go against the Meta, the Googles, the OpenAI, Microsoft, all these players have all the money in the world to buy these extremely expensive NVIDIA chips. So what's going to end up is all the top talent in that space is all going to be gathered up around those FANG companies. OpenAI would be included in that. And the rest, we're just going to be basically fighting for the scraps. What's your take here? I think this is going to be extremely challenging because the skill set that we're going to need in the next 5 years is going to be so huge, and it's going to get hoarded by the big companies with massive computing powers. And then on the other side is they're going to be competing against each other and poaching, talking about non-compete. No one is paying attention to non-compete when it comes to AI. Like, you got Mark Zuckerberg, like we talked last week, that is openly recruiting. Google's doing the same thing. Every company in the space is putting all their top dogs in this fight for this talent. What do you think is going to happen, Shelley?
I think we've seen it before. This is the same old story. And if we recall, was it data scientists 4 years ago? Everyone was just so hot for data scientists, and they're offering them $750,000 a year. What's unique about this is the computing power that candidates are asking for. Like the quote that you had here from Arvind Cervantes, the CEO of Perplexity AI, the candidates were demanding that they had higher computing power. So yeah. I'm not interested in working for a small player who's only got, you know, say,
Don't even attempt H1 GPUs.
Well, no, those are the chips, right?
Exactly.
That's their computing power. So give me something sexy is what I took away from this. And employers think if you can just offer competitive compensation or provide skill development or, hey, we've got a great culture, that's not cutting it.
No.
This top talent wants something so remarkable. Like, give me bigger tools. That's what I loved about this article.
Yeah, it's fascinating because the best stock to own, and if you don't own it, like, you should have bought NVIDIA 3 years ago.
Well, now you tell me.
I know, it's a little bit late, but you bought ZipRecruiter instead. So a little bit different in their directions here.
Never let me live that down.
But the example is like Meta plans to acquire over 340,000 NVIDIA H100 GPU chips. Mm-hmm. And that's a chip of choice right now. Like, they are hoarding the chips so they could hoard the talent. Like, I should have gone in AI, or maybe it's not too late. Maybe, Shelley, I know I just joined you, but I might be going in AI because there's a ton of jobs. And basically, you're able to set your market. I don't think there's a number. If you are at that high level, going to Meta and saying, I need $1 million, I don't think anyone like blinks an eye at that.
I think what this is saying is that money, that kind of money, is table stakes.
It is.
It's like saying, oh, by the way, we have a medical dental plan. It's table stakes. So what? This is really exciting. Like, this was a really fun article for sure.
It'll be great to watch.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of new jobs, there was a report that came out that talked about what is the lowest average pay people would be willing to accept for a new job. And so what's interesting is in America, it has now, and these are average numbers, $81,822 as of March, which is the highest it's been since 2014. And it's a big jump because in November, they polled Americans on this topic, and the number was $73,391 on average. This is on average to take a new job. So salary expectations is an interesting conversation because men said that the lowest they'd accept. So if we parse this data out, again, 81,000 was an average. But men said the lowest offer they would accept to change jobs was 95, compared to women who said they'd change for 66,300. Wow, that is a big disparity in gender gap, for sure, of what women are willing to change jobs for.
Let's talk about that first. Why do you think that is, Shelley?
So what this doesn't talk about is same for same, right? Yeah. So pay equity, if I'm doing the same job and I have the same level of experience and expertise, but it's essentially same work, same pay.
Yeah.
What this is telling me is that women still are not asking for as much money as a man, because these are averages. Keep that in mind. And yeah, I think it's just going to continue to increase the gap in what men and women get paid or even ask for to change jobs.
It depends on how you look at it. Being devil's advocate here, there's a couple of factors. We know that women generally are in sectors that pay less. We also know that women are the most cases the primary caregiver of their children. So they might work part-time, different hours or more flexibility. What I like to know is like for like a marketing director, male and female, what are they asking for? Is that $30,000 different? I don't think it is, but I might be wrong. I think the data doesn't give us a true picture of what this actually means. But if you're right that people in the same like for like are asking for $30,000 less.
No, it's not like for like. This is just averages. And we'd have to peel things back a long way to get to that.
Yes, because if it was like for like, something needs to happen to dramatically change it. But again, why do you think women ask for less?
I don't know, Serge. I really don't. It was through CNBC and Bloomberg reported this. We'd have to do a much deeper dive to really understand why.
The difference here.
Yeah.
But let's switch to the other element of how much higher that we're asking compared to November. I think we've all realized that our cost of living, like
inflation,
a lot of cases, we're talking about doubling. It's very evident that the cost of living, $90,000 is not a lot anymore. Like six figures, $100,000 used to be something to be proud of. In reality, it's almost like table stakes for a lot of families. Inflation and the cost of living, this is what we need for us to make that change, right? We're not going to change a job for the same that we make now or less. So why not just stick around? And this is in the US, where the minimum wage is still like $7.90 an hour, something ridiculous. What I'm seeing in Canada is we're not seeing a big rise in salaries. I haven't seen it. Maybe you've seen it more than I have, but salaries are not that different than they were 5 years ago overall, unless you have a very specific skill set like AI. But aside from that, salaries have not gone up. Minimum wage has gone up a fair amount since 2014, and I think we're going to see that continue. But not a big increase.
So from what I've been hearing, like more through just client conversations, the percentage of salary increases for employees has eked up like tiny percentages. Like a 5% increase is like a big deal. And I get that. But when we look at the cost of gas, food, like overall inflation, has dwindled your quality of life. And so the only way to make more is to change jobs.
Yeah, good point.
And so I think what we'll see, and we've been in the industry long enough, and I'm getting a lot of rumblings about Q3 this year. There's not been a lot of change. It's been very vanilla. There's been a lot of maybe holdbacks, but I think we're going to see a lot of people changing jobs in Q3.
Interesting. Well, there's one thing. You need to have jobs out there for people to change jobs. Mm-hmm. So you might be right, but I would not put money on it right now, Shelley, because we just showed three of the biggest companies laying off people, and I'm hearing it across the board. But you are the most positive person that I know, and you think about, what did you call it? You're very Pollyanna.
I've heard that before. I'm very optimistic.
I try to balance you out. That's why we work so well together. So on that note, Shelley.
Yes.
This is our first podcast that we actually work together outside of the Recruitment Flex. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know more about higher value, come on, reach out. I want coffee, lunch, Zoom call. Let's do it. On that note, Shelley, have a fantastic rest of the week.
Thanks, Serge. Au revoir.
Shelley, let's face it, texting candidates is the easiest way to hire quicker today. but your cell phone doesn't connect to your ATS. You're sharing your personal number with strangers. That's pretty scary, right, Shelly? And it's not even legally compliant.
This is where our friends at RecText come in. They've created simple yet powerful text recruiting software that works with your ATS. Plus, it's designed by recruiters for recruiters, so you know it works. To learn more and book a demo, visit www.rectxt.com. Mention the Recruitment Flex and get 10% off annual plans.